Lord. We praise you for your word. You reveal. Lord, wake us up and give us light through your words. Amen. Praise the Lord for the voice. It's maybe something we don't like to hear, but it really heals us.
Amen.
We have to. We want to be part of this remnant. That's why we need to repent. And through this voice that Isaiah shows us, God is pointing the finger on many things where we still need to repent. Where the Lord wants to change something in us deeply. That's why we have to see all these woes in Isaiah and have it work in us. In Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord spoke to almost every church, repent, and pointed a finger on specific points. And today it's the same thing, we need to repent. And not just in a superficial way, but profoundly. So through Isaiah, the Lord wants to show us what points he really wants to treat and heal us. And Isaiah 28 starts with 1. 28 verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty. This glorious beauty is a fading flower. It's also the same thing with us. We can be easily drunk. Maybe the Lord is showing something to us or doing something among us, and we think, oh, we have reached something special. We have achieved something, and we don't need to go on anymore. This makes you proud, and pride always makes you drunk. You don't know anymore what the Lord wants to do. You are becoming hazy. So it's important to see what is this wine that can make you drunk. Actually, there are just two wines. There's a wine of this world. There's also wine of religion. And we are very, we can be easily influenced by this wine. For example, the wine of this world, you can easily start to make a compromise with this world. You say, oh yeah, this is still okay, I can do that. And you start taking a small sip from the wine. But once you start drinking this wine, you will become addicted. You will want more. Not realizing that this wine of the world is attracting you more and more. This also happened to me the last weeks. I was recently online on YouTube, and suddenly a video popped up. So I think, oh, that's interesting, I want to watch it. And I watched it, and I realized, oh, this is fun, I like it, I can relax. And I clicked one after the other. And this is really the wine of this world. You start drinking, and it attracts you, it gives joy to the soul. You don't have to fight. You can relax with your soul. There's no fight, no battle for your soul if you're watching YouTube. And I realize what I'm doing here. What am I doing here? This is really the wine of the world that is addicting, and it will also influence the others. If I start filling myself with the world and enjoying such things, I will start speaking about it. And if I'm filled with this wine, I will start talking about these things with the saints, with the brothers and sisters, and they will also become drunk. And verse 7 says, but they also have erred through wine, and through intoxicating drink are out of way. It starts with Ephraim. It says, woe unto the drunken crone of Ephraim, the drunkards of Ephraim. But later you see that all Ephraim is Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel. And later it starts, it swaps over to Judah, and then Judah is also drunk. So, but maybe you're somebody to say, oh, I don't, there's also the other side is also the wine of religion. Maybe you don't want to drink the wine of the world, so you start making, set up your life by protecting yourself through commandments. And you make laws for yourself, trying to protect yourself. And these laws and self-created laws that will make yourself hard, and you think that you can keep the word of God with your own strength. So this will make you really hardened and not flexible. If you become religious, it's not a good thing.
We are
God wants to work on us and like a ground, like a soil on the field. So he wants to plow through our hearts. That's why your hearts really need to be softened for his speaking. And this is only possible if you return and repent and come back to him. And allowing God to speak directly to us and to have his word work in us. Verse 1 says, it's the fading flower. The glorious beauty is a fading flower.
If you
depart from, as soon as you become this religious or you depart from the Lord, it's a fading flower. Maybe once it was glorious. Once for sure it was glorious. But at some point the glory passes away. That happens today. It can happen to us if we are not constantly renewed by the Lord. And also Luke 5 says the same thing. Luke 5, verse 37. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. If you're old and doing routines and doing what you always did, and you don't question yourself and question the Lord, Lord, what is this really your will, what we are doing here? Then you become really old. And so if the Lord wants to give you new wine, it will break apart. And then verse 39 says, no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. It's true. Why do you want to have something new from the Lord? Why do you want to continue? It sounds good, but the Lord shows here you need something new, always fresh from him.
Er zeigt, es ist, er möchte und es ist nicht einfach, den Kelch zu trinken, den er uns zu trinken. Wir möchten lieber in unserer Tradition bleiben.
We like to prefer staying with our old wine and just continue doing our routine.
Dann sehen wir auch, was Gott tut, wenn wir so bleiben.
But if you stay like that, it will have a consequence. As a result, you see in Isaiah chapter 28.
Da sagt er, so wird auch er zu diesem Volk durch stammelnde Lippen durch eine fremde Sprache reden. Wenn wir nicht mehr auf den Herrn hören wollen, wenn er uns so viel sagt und so viel zeigt, dann wird er anfangen, mit uns in stammelnde Lippen zu reden.
So the Lord will also start talking when,
das muss uns echt heute warnen.
In stammering lips,
verse 11.
For stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. Yes, that will be the consequence from that. Today, if you see Christianity, everybody's drunk from this wine, and God cannot even, or even doesn't want to talk to them straightforward and directly. But so in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21, Paul talks about talking and speaking in tongues.
He,
1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. And in Isaiah 21, it's God is talking to him, Tzavla Tzav, Kavla Kav, that's the original text. So if God is talking to you, like that, how can you understand? This is really his judgment.
If
God has to speak to us in a clear and straightforward way, something you can understand and comprehend. And that's why we are here for in this conference. We want to see the goal. We don't just want to see. It's not a just judgment for nothing, but it's judgment with a goal. So the Lord does not talk to us in baby tongue, but in a tongue of adults, of grown-ups. It says, to whom shall he speak? Whom shall I teach knowledge? Whom will I make to understand the message? Those who just lean from milk? Those who just drawn from the breast? We are all children of God, of course, but this is not a good condition. The Lord really wants to treat us. So we really need the substance of Christ. It's not about having much teachings, but we need the substance of Christ. So in this conference we will see even more what it is about. How can we gain more of the substance of Christ? We need the offerings and the feasts that we will see in the later on in this conference in order to gain the substance. So verse 5 says, and that day the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. So the Lord really shall be everything to us, not just something like here and there, a small bit of him, but he must be all, the beauty, the crown of glory. And verse 6, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. He said, shows that it's really about judgment. So today, we are on that way for Christ to become our crown. So when the Lord comes back and we are just faded away like a dry flower, a fading flower, that's not good, but we want to be something where he's rejoicing to receive his bride. So if we really do that and set our hope fully on grace, this will preserve us. So if you want to be proud of something, then or boast yourself, then boast of the Lord. That's not just something, it's not just to be glory once. We don't just want to be a glorious church some time ago, but it's from glory to glory.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we don't just want to be glorious once, but from glory to glory.
Und ein prächtiger Kranz sein.
Amen.
Für
In that day, the verse 5, the Lord of hosts will be a for crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. This first woe regarding pride is regarding pride, because verse 1 says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. And verse 3, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, will be trampled underfoot. Pride is something really deeply rooted in man. So even the first sin that was committed, when Lucifer, who was the bright star, became proud and fell, this was the first sin. And the sickness of Satan. We can read in Isaiah that Lucifer was very bright morning star, but he was more glorious than everybody else. It's in Isaiah Ezekiel 28, verse 17. And your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have destroyed your wisdom because of your brightness. So through that proud heart, he fell and became Satan. And he didn't wait a long time to bring that poison into man. So by seducing man, he brought that poison of pride into a human being. And man was expelled from the Garden of Eden. We really have to take that serious, that there is not a proud heart in us. Because God will judge that pride, for sure. If we become proud, the glory of God will move away. If you are so conscious of how glorious and wonderful you are, then the Lord will say, okay, you can do that, you are capable, so I will go. I'm leaving. Bye-bye. In that moment, the glory that was there will fade away. Maybe it was like a beautiful flower, but it fades, it dries out. It's the same thing as in chapter 4. The same thing as in chapter 4, verse 4. Like the first fruit before the summer, it was a fruit which was ripe, but it was eaten immediately. It's good if you can see something from God's glory. But then we have to take heed not to become proud. To become proud, the more glorious the church is, the deeper it can fall. So if now we become proud, then when the Lord comes back, nothing will be there anymore. And I asked the Lord, Lord, where is there any pride in my heart? Show me. So that I can deal with it. I don't want to have a proud heart today. And I praise the Lord that he gives light. He showed me one thing. When I'm comparing with each other, I'm easily looking at brother or sister next to me and comparing myself, trying to find out in which point am I better and I can do more. Comparing myself with others is hidden pride in us. It comes from the hidden pride. It's not obvious, but it's somewhere sleeping in you. dormant in you, and it comes up once a while, and it's a hidden pride. So sometimes I compare myself and think, whoa, where do I have more capacity, more capable, whatever, and I start comparing myself with others. This is really a heart of pride. So when I start looking to the right or to the left, I lose the sight for what is ahead. Then I'm not going forward anymore. Maybe I feel better, but I don't go forward. I lose sight of the goal. If I'm pride and comparing myself with others, it really makes you brings you to a standstill. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This is pride. That's a pride, proud heart that trusts in himself and thinks it is righteous and despises the others. And he shows the parable of two men go up to the temple to pray, and a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And here God really exposed the pride in his heart. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And so on. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. It's good things, but he's so self-indulgent and proud of it. And he's comparing himself with others and saying, oh, he's doing this and that wrong. I'm better. I'm not doing it, so I'm better. So if I'm thinking of like that about the saints, about the others, then this woe is for me. It hits me. Woe to the proud crown of pride. Instead, I really need this focus on the kingdom of God. If I have seen something, then I must ask the Lord. If I have much capacity, I need to ask the Lord, Lord, how should I use it, make use of it for your kingdom? If I see maybe somebody's is fighting with something and he's not doing well, then I need to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I help him to go on? This is the attitude which is directed on the goal, on heading forward. And already in Moses, in the books of Moses, the Lord showed us many practical points how we can apply Christ to treat this problem of pride. In Leviticus 23, we read about the Feast of Tabernacle. 23. And Leviticus 23, verse 27. Also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls. Yeah. This is really a help from the Lord. When I realize that there's pride coming up in my heart, then I need to celebrate the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Reconciliation, saying no to my thoughts. Stop these thoughts that are trying to compare each other. And I afflict my soul, I humble my soul. And saying, Lord, I don't allow these thoughts to rise in my heart. I humble my soul. And I want to keep this feast of reconciliation. I want to humble my soul under the will of God. And let him give me a pure heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, as long as the Lord is shining on it and exposing it and still talking to us, we have the chance to repent and to improve. We have to treasure that the Lord is giving us light in such a clear way on the hidden things. And as soon as he exposes something, we have to say, Amen, Lord. I want to let you deal and treat with it. If we don't do that, then we will experience Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. It says, to whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those who just weaned from milk, those who just drawn from the breast. If we are not ready, willing to hear God speaking, but we harden our hearts, then God will say, to whom shall I speak? My people, to whom I want to speak, they don't have ears to hear. Shall I talk to the babies who just drawn from the breast? It will not help. So, what shall I do? Because they say precept upon precept. What God wants to warn them with his laws and his precepts. They just say, oh, this is just some precepts, some ordinances, leave me alone. Then the Lord will say, for with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. So that shows before God was speaking in a clear way that they could understand. But because they were resisting God speaking, then he starts to speak differently. He said, because they don't hear anyways, I will start speaking in a stammering language, stammering lip, in a strange tongue. So when God is talking to us in different tongues or stammering lips or not clearly, it's a sign that God is judging and not talking to us anymore. Because we were resisting, God is talking to us in such a way. So recently I was visiting a family, and since 3 years they were renovating their house. Since 3 years. And then, when we were visiting them, I realized that the light bulbs, the lamps, there were no lamps, it was just light bulbs with a cable. And he pointed it out to them. But they said, oh, we don't realize it. They lived here for so many years, everything works fine. But they didn't realize that there are only light bulbs at the ceiling and no real lamps. So when the Lord is not talking to us straightforward, clearly, I will not realize. So I really realized straightforward, oh, the lamps are not in place. But to them, they didn't see it anymore. And the same thing with the church. If we think, if God talks to us, we will realize we are not that glorious as we thought. So if I ignore God speaking and I think God will not speak to me anymore, straightforward, and I think everything is fine, but then somebody else comes and sees that there's no glory and he will point it out, and I will be shocked. So we really need this urgent, this is the urgent call of God, that we obey to his speaking quickly. When he says something, we mustn't wait any longer, but do it, apply it straightforward and do it. If the Lord shows something, then today is a day of salvation. Repent, accept it, and work on it. Go forward with it. Apply it. We should. It's not that it's not good if the Lord has to point something out to us 10 times. Because at one point he will cease, he will stop. Like he says in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. This is not according to our concept. We think, oh, if somebody doesn't understand, then God should speak in a more detailed, a more specific way. If he doesn't understand, you still have to speak again. But God says, he's different than our concept. God says, if you don't want to hear and understand, then I will speak to you in a different language so that you don't understand at all. Did you ever imagine such thing? God's ways are really different, and I want to confirm that. I want to read to you Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Luke chapter 9, verse 24.
Hat schon 10 Pfunde. Denn ich sage euch, jetzt sagt er, wer hat, dem wird gegeben werden.
It's a different verse, but he says, take away the one and take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has more. And they told him, Lord, doesn't he have 10 already? Why should he have more? But the Lord says, take it away from him and give it to the one who has 10. It's the same thing with Isaiah. If you listen, God will talk to you clearly. If you don't listen, God will talk to you in a strange tongue. We really have to learn something from God's ways and God's ordinances, which is not according to our natural thoughts. Our natural thoughts wants to treat everybody same or lift up the weak ones so that everybody will be similar. But the Lord says, he who has will be given more. He who doesn't have will be taken. Even what we have will be taken away. When we are listening, God will show us even more so that we will continue and go on more and more. But if we are in our soul relaxing and comfortable and lazy, then we don't know what God wants to do. Then when we ask ourselves, so what does God want to deal and heal in me? We say, oh, I don't know. I don't hear anything. I don't know. But we really have to humble our souls and tell the Lord, Lord, if you speak, I want to be faithful. And don't be stuck in this old things. So that we may be such who have the speaking of God, and even he will give us even more.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for your speaking. That we can reach to God.
Und dann aber nicht nur Gericht, weil wenn es nur Gericht wäre, dann wären wir am Ende nicht mehr hier.
The Lord doesn't have only judgment.
Zu Asche geworden, weil es so viel Gericht gibt.
His judgment is not for destruction. Otherwise, his womb would be empty. But he also shows us how we can be perfected.
Nämlich Gott pflügt auf Hoffnung hin.
It says in the point C that God is plowing because he hopes. The Lord is like a farmer, like Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 24 says, Does the plowman keep plowing all days to sow? Does he keep turning his soul and breaking the cloth? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black kernel and scatter the kernel? And so on.
Wunderbar, der Herr hat in uns, als wir gläubig geworden sind, solch ein wunderbares Wort der Errettung in uns hineingesehen.
So when we were saved, the Lord gave us such a clear word.
Dass es auch eine Frucht davon gibt.
And in the end, he wants us to receive a fruit.
Matthäus 13,
because we all know the parable of Matthew, chapter 13.
Matthäus 13, Vers 3. Und redete zu ihnen starting from 3,
and he spoke them to them many things in parable. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And there are many different kinds of soil. But verse 8 says, others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some are 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not just enjoyment only, or not just judgment only, but we need the combination of two. We need judgment. We need his judgment and his encouragement so that we would produce a fruit for God. Everything, if you really, everything has a price. In these days, I also experienced, I discovered something, I had to leave in a habit. And I was preparing something with one thing.
Das tut schon weh. Ich habe mir so viel Mühe gegeben, jetzt kommt es nicht dran. Aber dann habe ich wirklich gemerkt, es ist wirklich dieser Stolz, der da hochkommen will und sagt, das siehst du, du hast
he was preparing for the weekend and everything, and he was preparing so much and so detailed, and in the end, 90% of it was cut down. And then this pride came up and he said, oh, I prepared so well, and let it not be stolen, and things, thoughts like that. But I really had to judge these thoughts, and I don't do that for myself.
But
so in the outline there are some more verses you can read which talk about this fruit, this wonderful fruit. You can read it later in fellowship.
So that
so it's not by enjoyment that we enter the kingdom of God, but we also need judgment. It must be a mix, like we need both. The scripture shows that we need to enter through many tribulations the kingdom of God. So why tribulation? It's not to punish, to destroy, or to punish you, but it must serve for our salvation. And also, recently I had an appointment at the dentist, and I was a little bit afraid of going to the dentist, because I realized if he finds something, there will be some judgment. But if I tell the dentist, oh, I don't want this judgment, then he will say, well, your decision, but in the end it will be even worse. And you have to even take out the whole tooth. So we really need to accept God's judgment. So maybe when you accept it, it will be not so easy, but Afterwards, you will realize how you gained the Lord as a burnt offering through that situation. Because for myself, I couldn't have gone through the situation, but I took the Lord as a burnt offering so that I can go through the situation and the fruit for the Father would grow.
Denn ohne Ermutigung haben wir keinen Weg voranzugehen. Die Ermutigung ist
wichtig, weil that the Lord gives us is also important.
Will nicht, dass wir entmutigt werden, sondern dass wir mit Freude zum Ziel gehen, so wie es auch in den Psalmen steht.
So the Lord also wants us to go, to reach the goal with joy. Because the Psalms don't say that when they went up to Jerusalem, they were all mourning and crying. No, it's that they went up to Jerusalem with joy, singing.
Amen.
To the feast. So this is the right attitude. So first the Lord has to show us something, then treat us, judge it, and then the fruit will grow forth. It's the parable of the wine dresser, that he is the wine and we are the branches. And then he washes us.
So werden wir leider abgeschnitten und es gibt
dann kein Gericht. No fruit,
in diesem Gericht möchte ich dann
judgment.
Lieber jetzt schon
and I don't want to experience that judgment, but I want to be judged today, so that in the end I would be having to wait for 1,000 years, having to experience the Lord's judgment for 1,000 years.
Mm.
So in order to achieve that, or to reach that, we need the Lord's humanity. You can read these verses on the outline. Maybe one verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18.
Wo es heißt, von dem Herrn und der aber man kann noch Vers 17 dazu nehmen, um zu ganz komplett zu haben. Und als ich ihn sah, sagte ich mich hoch zu seinen Füßen. Er aber legte seine rechte Hand auf mich und sprach: Fürchte dich nicht, ich bin der Erste und der Letzte.
In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his hand on me, saying, but do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. And I am he who lives, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.
Wunderbare Menschlichkeit, die passt immer. In jeder Situation können wir den Herrn ergreifen. Und ich habe die Menschlichkeit des Herrn auch in vieler Weise schon erfahren. Ich denke mal, der Herr ist noch reich, er möchte uns noch viel mehr zeigen. Aber die Menschlichkeit des Herrn
Lord's humanity is really important.
Uns nicht ärgern lassen, dass unsere alte Menschlichkeit hervorkommt. Oder dass wir unsere Gedanken auf den Herrn ausrichten lassen, unsere Gesinnung ändern. Dass unsere Gesinnung auf das ist, was droben ist, und dass wir in Einfachheit Menschen reden, dass wir nicht hohe Worte machen und das Evangelium viel länger machen, viel länger machen, als es eigentlich ist, und dann am Ende niemand weiß, worum ging es dir einfach. Um dies alles zu machen, brauchen wir diese wunderbare Menschlichkeit des Herrn, der immer diese perfekte Ausgewogenheit hatte, wie wir es auch in der ganzen Schrift stehen. Wenn wir diesen Christus genossen haben,
so the Lord was really, I say, in his humanity is really balanced.
Dann können wir auch den Vater zufriedenstellen.
So if we gain the Lord in such a way,
as a
burnt offering and
his humanity,
as a meal offering, we can really satisfy the Father.
Mm-hmm.
so we can we'll continue the fellowship on that later.
Sondern es dem Vater zu viel stellen, ist der zentrale Punkt in der Schrift.
To satisfy the Father is such a central point in the scriptures. So for that we can read also Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7.
Damals sprach ich, siehe, ich komme, in der Buchrolle steht über mich geschrieben, um deinen Willen.
Then I said, behold, I have come. The volume of the book is written down to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second.
Wirklich wunderbar. Dieser wunderbare Christus, der im Alten Bund beschrieben ist, in diesen fünf Opfern, die wir im dritten Buch Mose sehen, wurde im neuen Bund als diese geistigen Opfer eingesetzt.
So Christ was introduced as a reality of these offerings of the Old Covenant. He was introduced as the fulfillment and reality of all these offerings and feasts. So, but we celebrate it not according to a physical way like in the Old Covenant, but in a spiritual reality. So for that purpose we also put the chart at the end of the outline. This table that shows a table about which with the offerings and the feasts. So by experiencing these offerings.
Folgende Stellen, die man lesen kann, und zwar Malachi 13, im dritten Buch Mose,
if we do that, bringing the Father for food for God, then all these verses on the outline show that God really wants such a fragrance, a well-smelling aroma.
Können wir dann zu diesem wunderbaren Fest mitbringen? Wann bringen wir diese Speise mit? Nicht irgendwann, sondern die Schrift ist sehr klar, bei den Festzeiten.
So this food for God we don't bring at any time, but we bring it to the feast, at the feast, at the Lord's table. It's in the spirit and reality, as John 4:7. So we bring it not anywhere but to Jerusalem, not to the earthly Jerusalem, but the spiritual, the heavenly Jerusalem. So Hebrews said that the church is the heavenly Jerusalem. But nothing changed, but we need.
Als die wunderbaren Opfer genießen, in unserer Woche unseren Korb füllen, um sie dann am Ende beim Fest des Herrn, dem Vater, zum Genuss zu bringen. Und das wird uns wirklich zum Ziel bringen. Und dies stellt dann den Vater völlig zufrieden, sodass er uns dann auch zum Ziel auf diesen wunderbaren Berg bringen kann.
It's just very hard to translate. That's so
Amen. Herr, wir loben dich. Amen. Herr, wir danken dir.